Okay, let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before we go to the passage for this evening, I want to go back to the number 77 that we read last time, because I think it's important to go over some things here. I think this is a very rich passage, and we didn't finish explaining the whole thing this through the catechism and with the catechism. Right at the beginning in this passage, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Pizcarreta the following. Let me read to you. My daughter, my divine will is all fullness. There is nothing which it does not possess. Immensity of light, unreachable sanctity, endless without boundaries. Incessant generation. It sees everything. It fills and molds everything. All this is its nature in my divine fiat. Therefore, all its acts possess the fullness of every good. Last time I explain to you that we really need to understand the concept of fullness that our Lord Jesus explains in volume 23, October 2nd, 1927, because that will help us to understand the whole book of heaven and to understand that just by virtue of this union, this is what the soul receives, that by virtue of this union, the soul is able to possess everything, to possess all sanctity, is able to go beyond boundaries. Because in the divine will, there is no boundaries. Humanly speaking, beyond boundaries, surpass all sanctities. Because the divine will is the source of all sanctities, is the fountain that possesses all sanctities. And if we really understand this concept of fullness, that just by as being united to the will of God, even if we don't say anything verbally, just by virtue of being united, every single act in union, in done in this unity, it brings us to the fullness of everything. So unity and fullness is very important to understand. And the Lord Jesus, he gives this definition in the Book of Heaven, the two definitions, for a reason. I think that everybody who is studying the Book of Heaven, we all need to understand the concept of unity to be able to understand fullness, and then to understand what infinite means and what it means to be centralized. I know a lot of people that they like to say a lot of vocal prayers, and that's good. But there are some other people that they are not so used to say so many vocal prayers. And to live in the divine will is not a matter of just saying things. That's not the substance. The substance is to be able to be united with the will of God so that everything we do may bring us into this unity and may bring us into the possession of all of this divine will that contains everything. Of course, if you unite yourself through the prevenient act and the actual act, that's a beginning. And by remembering through the day that we need to remain in this unity with the divine will, because this unity is able to embrace everything. So even if you don't express your intention that you want to compensate for everything, just by the fact, by virtue of you being united, you already are doing that. Even if you don't say anything, for those who are more contemplative and for those who don't use too many vocal prayers, for those of you who are used to say a lot of vocal prayers, that's fine too. But it's the union of the two wills that brings us into this realm of being able to give everything and embrace everything. So I just want to remind all of you that are listening that just make sure you understand these two concepts. The concept of unity, our Lord Jesus explains that also in volume 23, October 16, 1927. We really need to understand that and to make sure that we really meditate on that, that these definitions that our Lord gives us is so that we may understand all of this. So now, the other part that I want to talk about is the following. He says that all this is its nature in my divine fiat, meaning that is natural. Therefore, all its acts possess the fullness of everything. And this is where we want to arrive, to be able to be united with our Lord through our acts. Of course, we are united through our Lord Jesus also whenever we receive the sacraments, whenever we receive the Eucharist, we are united with our Lord. But here we are talking about being united through our acts with the intention that we want to do everything in union with the will of God, that we want to allow the divine will to have its field of action in every single act that we do. And that will place us in this mode to be able to embrace everything, because it's the divine will that brings us into this realm of being able to embrace everything, into this unity. And we allow that when we submit ourselves to the divine will, when we give our consent to the will of God to operate through us. So then our Lord Jesus here, this is very important for us too. The Lord tells us, what do we need to do? This is for each one of us, for everybody who is listening. So in order to be able to enclose even a single act of it in the depth of the soul. So for the divine will to be able to enclose a single act in the depth of the soul of the human person, it is necessary that the soul, the Lord says, that she, the soul, empty herself of all of herself. So now we can apply it to ourselves. I need to empty myself of myself in order for the divine will to be able to begin working in me through my acts. This should make us think that the Lord is saying that in order for the divine will to deposit a single act in the depth of our soul, it is necessary that each one of us, we may get rid of ourselves, empty ourselves of ourselves. So this, I know that it may sound a little bit difficult to understand, but this way of living is not magical. We still need to do our work. It's not only to say, come divine will, and the divine will come and do it. There have to be some dispositions. It is very clear here. It is a beginning when we start inviting the divine will to operate in us. And here, I suppose that all of us, we are in the state of grace, that we are studying the book of heaven, and I'm departing from the understanding that all of us, we are trying to live the life of grace, a sacramental life based on the Ten Commandments and based on the sacraments, a life of grace. And that we are striving to arrive to the possession of the gift operating in our souls. So how do we form those dispositions in our soul? The church and the catechism gives us a little help, actually huge help. It points the way for us to arrive to that. In Numbers 18:33, I think it's 18:33. Let me see. No, it's 18, beginning in 1803. The church talks about, the catechism of the Catholic Church talks about virtues. And then the church gives a definition of what a virtue is. It says a virtue is an habitual and firm disposition to do the good. It allows the person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself. The virtuous person tends toward the good with all his sensory and spiritual powers. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions. Then it says the goal of a virtuous life is to become like God. If you remember that the Lord tells us that at the beginning, Adam already possessed He already possesses the fullness in himself, as much as a creature was able to possess, of course. If we keep reading here, the Lord says, it is necessary that she empty herself of all herself and return to the void of her nothingness. Another keyword, return, meaning that there was a point that the creature was in this state of nothingness that possesses only the life of God operating in the soul. To the void of her nothingness as in the act in which she was created, so that my divine volition may find the space of the nothingness to be able to deposit an act of fullness of its own, which is such that possessing the incessant generative virtue, one art calls for another, in a way that nothing must be lacking, neither fullness of light of sanctity, because fullness means to be filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing, with light, sanctity, love, with all the divine attributes. That's what Adam possessed. He didn't even have to work on his virtues because he was in the possession of the will of God operating in him. He just had to be, to be still, basically, and remain where God put him, in that union. So he possessed this fullness of light, of sanctity, of love, of multiplicity of divine acts. Therefore, sanctity done in my will possesses all the fullness again. Later on, we're going to skip some lines there, and the Lord says, and the soul will say, I am the triumph of your divine fiat. Therefore, I am all rich and beautiful. I possess the fullness of an act of your divine will, which fills me completely. And if you wanted to give me more, I will not know where to put it. Such was the fullness of Adam, sanctity before he fell into the maze of his human will, because he possessed the first act of our fiat, generator of his creation, and therefore he possessed fullness of light, of beauty, of strength, of grace. All the qualities of our fiat were reflected in him and embellished him so much that we ourselves fell in rapture in looking at him. In the state of grace, the Blessed Trinity fell in rapture just by looking at men, by looking at Adam. But see the contrast in where this human will put us. You go to Genesis 6, 5, all the way to 6. It says, the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it gripped him to his heart. All the translations use the word regretted. The Lord regretted, God regretted having created man. We see that in the state of grace, immaculacy, in which he was created, the Blessed Trinity was enraptured. So you see the opposite now. You see what the human will did and what caused. So now it is through the virtues that we try to go back like that, to go to that order, but also now through the sacraments and through the Book of Heaven. The sacrament of baptism immediately ordered us. It established the throne of God in our souls. God is able to rest again in the creature, so we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity in baptism. So everything begins there, the life of grace. So that's the way we go back. We have to return. So in baptism, we see that the Blessed Trinity finds that void in the creature. But as we grow old, we see that that void is being filled with ourselves. We fill that void with ourselves, and that becomes a problem. Because then the divine will cannot deposit that life again and again in us, because it becomes an impediment. The human will opposing the divine. So the church gives us a way and tells us that through the virtues, through the moral virtues, it says the moral virtues are acquired by human effort. We know that the theological virtues are given to us in baptism. They are free gifts. They come from God, and they are free gifts. But the other virtues, they require the human effort. They are the fruit and seeds of morally good acts. They dispose all the powers of the human being for communion with the divine love. This is very important for us. This passage of the catechism it should resound in all of us, in everybody who is studying the divine will, and in everybody who has read the volumes. Why? You go to volume 2 of the Book of Heaven, the Lord constantly is talking about dispositions. And then he continues, even in the higher volumes, I'm looking around to see if the soul is disposed. And this word disposition is required for us. We have to have the dispositions in our souls in order for the divine will to operate in us. That's what the Lord says here, that we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. So when the Lord uses the word disposition in the Book of Heaven, how do we understand it in light of what the church tells us? So the church tells us here that the virtues are acquired by human effort, that they are the fruit and the seed of morally good acts. morally good acts. They dispose. See this word dispose. So the virtues, they dispose all the powers of the human being for communion with the divine love. Isn't that what we are trying to attain here? To possess the divine love in us, the divine love operating in us. So first of all, we have to do, to make sure that we do morally good acts. That's basically the Ten Commandments. That we still have to follow the law. They will dispose our powers. All the powers of the human being, what powers? The powers of the soul. The soul has three powers. Will, intellect, and memory. So these, basically, these good acts, by living a moral life, following the Ten Commandments, it will dispose our souls. It will incline our free will, it will inform our intellect and our memory. It will prepare us to have communion with the divine love. And these cardinal virtues, that we know, the church says, look at this, at this phrase that the church gives us about the cardinal virtues. The cardinal virtues, four virtues play a pivotal role and accordingly are called cardinal. They are pivotal for us. And then we know them, justice, fortitude, temperance, prudence. So these are the dispositions that we need to have in our souls. This is the way that we are going to empty ourselves from ourselves. And plus mortification and all that the church teaches us through the saints. I often mentioned St. John of the Cross, that he was looking union with God. He was looking for the union with God, to attain the union with God. And he starts thinking and reflecting, and he comes with the idea that I must get rid of all the appetites of the soul and the body. How? Mortification. And this is what the church tells us. To mortify ourselves, to fast, to abstain from eating meat on Fridays, things like that. So these are the dispositions that the church gives us, and as we see in this passage, they will prepare us for communion with the divine. By reading this passage, we should understand that this will prepare us for union with the divine will. That's the full meaning now that we are able to see through the Book of Heaven. That these virtues, they help us and they prepare our souls to arrive to the union with the divine will, so that the divine will may operate in us at every moment through every single act. And at the same time, it will help us get rid of ourselves, because if the divine will is operating in us, we are decreasing and he is increasing in us. So we must decrease so he can increase in us. So these are the dispositions, and sometimes we forget them because I think there is a lack of catechesis. And sometimes I think one of the issues with studying the Book of Heaven just by itself is that we forget about the catechesis that we all have to have. And we cannot forget that. So I really want to encourage all of you to look at these passages of the catechism about virtues. The virtues is from 1803 all the way till 1840. We see there the explanation, but I hope you can see the relation the relationship between the catechism and this passage, that the church is telling us that these virtues, they dispose all the powers of the human being. What are the powers of the soul? Basically, what he's saying that these virtues will dispose your will, your intellect, your memory for what? For communion with the divine will. The church calls it for communion with divine love, which is the divine will. So we cannot forget about this. And this is what our Lord Jesus is telling us. In order for the divine will to operate in you, so that you may return to that void, you need to empty yourself of yourself. And the church tells us how to. Mortification, as I explained through John of the cross. And the way the church tells us that this way of living prepares us to have to arrive to this union with the divine will. That now we know how it will allow us to give everything to God. That if we are able to arrive to this union, to possess the will of God operating in us, it will allow us, it will equip us with everything we need to be able to give everything to Him, because just by virtue of being in possession of His will in us, it will allow us to have everything in us and to give everything, to embrace everything. So I think there is a lot of work that we need to do. And I just want to encourage all of you not to forget about this part of the catechism too. When you have a chance to just go and read those, there is more about the virtues that we can read, but I think we can leave it there. I can read one more, just one more. It says in 1839 of the Catechism, the moral virtues grow through education, deliberate acts, and perseverance in struggle. Divine grace purifies and elevates them. How? This is very important too, because it will, it says the divine grace will purify the virtues in us, and it will elevate them. And we know that through the Book of Heaven, the Lord says that once you have these dispositions in your soul, the divine qualities will be able to operate through those virtues. Basically, there will be an exchange of the human virtues for the divine qualities. The same way that there is the exchange of the human will for the divine will. That unless you have a human will in you, he cannot operate in you. So that's why with those who pass, the divine will can do nothing with them anymore. Because we need the human will or divine will to operate through that. So perhaps you can understand what the Lord Jesus says when the Lord Jesus says dispositions. Luisa, I want to find those dispositions in your soul. Now we can understand it and in the way that he will say to us, to all of us and each one of us, I need to find the virtues in you. So we can change the word virtue for this, I mean, disposition for virtue. I don't know if it's, if you understand that, but the church calls this the virtues in the person dispositions. They dispose us for communion with divine love, it says. So now then we are able to understand that through the Book of Heaven, when the Lord Jesus is forming Luisa Picarreta, especially in volume 2, in the second volume, that the Lord talks so much about how much he loves humility, he loves virtues, the purity of intention to do everything out of love for Jesus, all of that. Those are dispositions. But now through the Catechism, we understand that those dispositions, they have to be in us. So we can use the word, the words dispositions and virtues. We can interchange them. So that's what I wanted to really emphasize in this passage, because I think this is very important. And if you have a chance, please read those definitions, infinite from volume 12, May 20, 1918, fullness, volume 23, October 2nd, 1927, Unity, volume 23, October 16, 1927, and also the definition of centralization, volume 23, December 10, 1927. That will help us to understand the whole Book of Heaven,